Moshe Feiglin is a deputy minister of the Israeli Knesset. Could you talk a bit more about who he is and why independent Jewish voices were demanding that he wasn't admitted to Canada?
Okay, Feiglin is a member of the ruling Likud party, but he stands, if it's possible to be further right than, you know, Netanyahu is head of that party. He definitely is. He has called for Arabs to be voluntarily removed from all parts that Israel now has control over, which includes Israel proper and the occupied territories. He does not support civil rights for Arabs in the occupied territories or within Israel proper. So he is, even though he talks about democracy, he's talking about democracy for Jews only. So in his world, Arabs do not have the right to democracy. In fact, he's made some very, very alarming, directly racist statements about Arabs. So this is a man who politically is fascistic and absolutely racist. And he has alliances here in Canada and in other parts of the world with right-wing Jewish groups.
One of those groups include the Jewish Defense League?
Yes.
And he, I believe he made a speech on May 6th.
Yes.
That was co-sponsored by the Jewish Defense League. Did you listen to that?
Yes, I did.
Could you talk about it?
Yeah, it's there really wasn't anything new in the speech. You know, he was basically preaching to the converted. There's no way they had predicted there would be 500 people there. I don't know how many people actually were. So even though I watched the speech, there was no sense at all of how big the audience was. So we don't really know that. Basically, he reiterated the same things, you know, that I just said, that the political solution to Israel and Palestine is to remove the Arabs. To make the Jews completely sovereign over the Muslim holy sites, over, you know, all of historic Palestine, if possible, to remove Arabs completely from the Jewish state, including occupied territories, which he considers to belong to Israel. With full sovereignty over, for example, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, which is a Muslim holy site. He talked about that there should be no Palestinian police presence in the occupied territories, that only Jewish police and Jewish army should be present there, keeping the order. That's basically what he said, and encouraging Arabs to live. He also states that there is no Palestinian nation. He does not believe there is a Palestinian nation, and therefore there's no need for a Palestinian state. So he basically reiterated, you know, all those points that we know that he holds. So nothing new.
In 2008, Moshe Feiglin was banned from entry to the United Kingdom because the Home Secretary was scared that he could justify terrorist violence over there.
Mm-hmm.
Should Canada do the same?
I think so. I think there's no difference, particularly when you think about how George Galloway, the British MP, was not allowed into Canada when there's no proof at all that he has terrorist links. He was just accused, and he's very pro-Palestinian, but he was accused of having terrorist links, therefore he was not allowed into Canada. But here's a man who has provable terrorist links to the Jewish Defense League. He is, you know, supportive of the settler movement in Israel, and he preaches racist doctrine without any embarrassment whatsoever, without, you know, trying to make it into pretty words. And that's the kind of person I think that should actually be banned from entry to Canada. And I'm sorry that we didn't find out earlier about this speech, because we would have gone to the Canadian Border Services and to the into our own MPs to try and prevent him from entering.
Moshe Feiglin is a politician. Can you really ask your government to forbid a politician to come? Wouldn't that sort of make things tense, diplomatically speaking?
Well, they did it with George Galloway, and they've done it with others. Galloway is a member of Parliament. So there didn't seem to be any problem with banning Galloway from entering Canada. So I don't think it's a contradiction. I don't think it would cause problems with Israel. They might, might be because he's a member of the ruling party, but I don't, I can't see that would be the case. There's such a good case here for banning him, given what he said and what his positions are. Some of the things he has said about Arabs, I don't even want to repeat them, right? Because they're so deeply racist. So I think that definitely he is among those who do not deserve to come to Canada in order to preach that philosophy. And there is a risk here of, for example, he is brought here by the Jewish Defense League, which has been investigated by the RCMP as a possible terrorist organization. The Jewish Defense League has been banned from the United States. In other words, it's been listed by the FBI as a terrorist organization. There are enough links here to prove that he is a threat to the public order, because he could, in fact, be encouraging extremist elements in the Jewish community to take actions that could be illegal or that could be expressions of racism.
What kind of support are the Jewish Defense League getting in here in Canada?
Well, I don't want to say that they're growing, but I have seen evidence that there is growth in the Jewish Defense League. I think the history of the Jewish Defense League is very long. It started in the 1970s with Meir Kahana, who eventually went to live in Israel, but whose party was banned there in 1994 as a terror organization. And Kahana himself was assassinated in New York in 1990 by an Arab assassin. So the JDL, it has this long history of connection to terrorist violence. They correspond to movements in Israel, for example, some of the settler movements that have actually carried out terrorist attacks on Palestinian citizens in Israel. There seems to be more interest. In other words, they laid low for quite a while. And in the last few years, all of a sudden we see, for example, an ad in the Canadian Jewish News for an event sponsored by the Jewish Defense League, which a few years ago I don't think would have happened because of the terrorist association. The people would have felt that they were beyond the pale. They should not be allowed to participate as, respected members of the Jewish community. So it worries me a lot that this event took place, that it's not just the Jewish Defense League, it's the Toronto Zionist Council and the Chabad ultra-Orthodox movement that has rallied around Feiglin, brought him here. So there is a sense that there's some movement afoot. Groups that have the ear of the Jewish community have been part of bringing Feiglin here and part of supporting Jewish Defense League activities.
How would banning Moshe Feiglin from Canada help, for example, support the peace process or help at least ameliorate the situation in the West Bank or Gaza? In the age of the internet now, mm-hmm. banning him from Canada isn't going to stop him from spreading his ideas here if he wants to.
Right. Oh, absolutely. But it's in some ways it's a symbolic act, right? In that we will not tolerate that kind of racism that encourages extremist elements in the Jewish community to, you know, put pressure. I mean, right now we have, you know, the Harper government, which is so excessively pro-Israel, that, you know, I think that trying to get a ban on his entry would have sent a message to the Harper government that, you know, they're in bed with the Likud, which is the party that Feingold comes from, and have shown this, you know, uncritical support for Israel and for its the occupation and for its policies against Palestinians. And I think that the public needs to send a very loud and clear message to Harper that this is a Tau peace is established by showing very publicly that you are on the side of, you know, forces in Israel that don't want to make concessions, that you know, undercut the peace talks as has just happened. So I think that there are ways, particularly the Jewish, you know, groups in the Jewish community such as ours, need to constantly send the message that not all Jews believe or support Harper in his alliance with Netanyahu. People have to learn to speak out about that, because that will not bring peace. The policies of the present Israeli government, which are supported by, you know, by Stephen Harper, even though the stated Canadian policy is different than what Harper seems to think it is, you know, so I think that message has to be constantly reiterated, and calling for Feingold to be banned is part of sending that message out.
Is there anything being done to prevent extremist behavior or extremist Zionist ideology in the Canadian Jewish community?
Not that I can see. It's certainly the right wing is welcome. It's people that are further on the left who, you know, call for an end to the occupation, who call for an end to the harassment and marginalization of different people who speak out against the occupation and against apartheid policies in Israel, who are not welcome in you know, to speak in the name of the Jewish community. So I think that groups like ours have to constantly keep up the pressure, have to educate about what's going on in Israel and Palestine, so that it becomes clear that by speaking out, one is not being a traitor to one's Jewish identity, but rather trying to actually achieve peace and to, you know, to encourage a principled approach to the Israel-Palestine problem, rather than a kind of blind support of Israeli policies as they stand today. So it's very, very difficult to tap. It's a phenomenon. The suppression of dissent in the Jewish community is a phenomenon that has spread and has bloomed in the last few years. And we just saw now that the Council of Presidents of American Jewish Organizations disallowed J Street, which is a sort of a leftist, liberal Zionist organization. They denied them membership in that organization, which is an important American organization. But more than that, there's been, you know, the censoring of academics of various sorts over their positions on Israel. So it's really important to speak out and not support the kind of you know, one-sided position that the Jewish community appears to take. In other words, those who claim to speak in the name of the Jewish community claim that, you know, their position is, you know, the proper one, is the one that Jews abide by, when in fact there are a lot of people in the Jewish community who dissent from Israeli politics as they are today, and want to see a more open Jewish community that will entertain positions and ideas, you know, of all stripes.
Would you like to add anything, perhaps?
I think that we can't be too casual about the fact that the Jewish Defense League is having these big meetings, that they're supported by something like Chabad, which is a respected ultra-Orthodox organization that reaches out beyond its own population, that when we see these groups coming together to sponsor extremist speakers such as Feiglin, we really need to take, the Jewish community needs to take a very long, hard look at what's going on if this is considered acceptable, behavior.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.